We're going to jump into the message this morning. I have been conflicted because I always want to honor the holiday, and I landed on a really good spot, so in Genesis. So we get a double whammy this morning. We get to continue our Genesis series, and you get a Mother's Day message. So so thankful that you're here this morning. Jansen, you're good. Everybody give it up for Jansen one time. So glad that you're here. This morning, if you don't mind, there's a lot of people here, so if you could like scooch to the middle, unless you're saving seats for someone, so that we have plenty of room for those who might need some seats. And so this morning, we're going to keep going in Genesis. We're going to start in Genesis 25, and once we get done with Genesis 25, we're going to flip to 27. I know I preached Genesis 26 last week, but there's an important part that a lot of people miss about where we are in this story in Genesis 25. And so we're going to read Genesis 25 starting in verse 19 this morning. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she said. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other. And your older son," please get this part, "your older son will serve your younger son." I didn't make sure that they had it turned the right way. So you got all the good stuff, like it's already there. There it is. Very important. Your older son will serve your younger son. Your older son will serve your younger son. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair, like a furry coat. So they named him Esau. And the other twin was born with his hand grasping at Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Amen, Jacob. The only reason that I prefer to stay at home is because every time that I've went fishing or hunting in the past year, I haven't killed or caught anything. So I'm just preferring to stay at home now. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating wild game, the wild game that Esau brought home. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. One day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, "but you're going to have to trade me your rights as the firstborn son. You're going to starve to death, or you're going to trade me your birthright." This is what Jacob's saying. Jacob's like, "Hey, give and take, baby. If you want this, I need some favor on my life. Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First, you must swear that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all of his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. Not going to be eating that. That's okay. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. Genesis 27. Let's see here. One day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son. "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied. I'm an old man now, and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. And then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die." This is very important that you hear what's about to happen next. But Rebekah overheard Isaac. Rebekah overheard Isaac. And what he had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Rebekah, "Listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, bring me some wild game, prepare a delicious meal, and then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you to do. Do exactly as I tell you to do. Go out to the flocks and bring me 2 fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies." "But look," Jacob replied, "my brother Esau is a hairy man, and my skin is smooth. What if my father touches me? He'll see that I'm trying to trick him, and then he'll curse me instead of blessing me." But his mother replied, "Then let the curse fall on me. Just do what I tell you to do. Go out and get the goats for me. Go out and get the goats for me." So Jacob went out and got the goats for his mother. Rebekah took them to prepared a delicious meal, just the way Isaac liked. Then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were there in the house, gave them to the younger son, Jacob. She covered his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of the young goats. And she gave Jacob the delicious meal that included freshly baked bread. So Jacob took the food to his father. "My father," he said. "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who are you, Esau or Jacob?" Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here's the wild game. Now sit up and eat and give me your blessing." Isaac asked, "How did you find it so quickly?" "The Lord, your God, put it in my path," Jacob replied. It's like, man, this sounds like Jacob's like 3 years old. He's like, "How'd you get this so quick?" He's like, "God gave it to me." "Where'd you find that?" "God put it in my lap." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come closer so I can touch you and make sure that you really are Esau." So Jacob went closer to his father. Isaac touched him. Then the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau, Isaac said. But he did not recognize Jacob because Jacob's hands felt hairy just like Esau. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. "But are you really my son Esau?" "Yes." "Yes, I am," Jacob replied. Then Isaac said, "Now my son, bring me the wild game, let me eat, and then I will give you my blessing." So Jacob took the food to his father. Isaac ate, and he also drank the wine that Jacob served him. And then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come a little closer and kiss me, my son." So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. And he said, "Ah, the smell of my son is the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed." Father, thank you for your word today. Speak something to us, say something to us, change something in us. Teach us what it means to be a blessed people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in a Genesis series here at the church. So thankful that you are here if you're a guest with us this morning. We have been walking through the entire book of Genesis, and we are now things are going to start picking up. The pace of this series is going to pick up like really, really fast because, like, you remember how, like, there was a whole movement, and we talked about Sarah and Abraham, like, that whole movement, it was, like, really long. Well, like, we just got introduced to who would carry on the covenant that God made with Israel in Genesis, like, 25, and Isaac and Rebekah are already dying. So within a few chapters, we now have these people who are continuing this covenant already dying and preparing to hand it off to this next generation. And so what I want to make sure that we know as we're navigating this series, moving through Genesis as a whole, is we don't miss these important links and themes that are going to teach you how to read the Bible. Like when you go to read the Bible for yourself, every time someone's blessed, it's gonna trigger something in your mind. Every time you read something in a particular passage, like for instance, let me give you an example. You have Jacob and Esau who are at odds with each other. Okay, we have these two brothers who are at odds with each other. Well, we learned in Genesis chapter 4, right, that there were also two brothers who were at odds with each other. The story of Jacob and Esau is the retelling of Cain and Abel. The way that the Bible works is it's set up, Genesis 1 through 11 is set up to the introduction to the Hebrew Bible. If you can understand Genesis 1 through 11, you can handle the rest of the entire Old Testament because it's a retelling of these stories. And what we see starting in the garden is we have Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, all of this stuff in Genesis 1 through 11. And it's where we initially get the idea of blessing introduced to us. And I'm going somewhere with this. It's going to be a Mother's Day sermon. I'm going somewhere with this. Just give me a couple minutes. We get this idea of blessing. We get this idea of like power grabs. We get this idea of what it means to be blessed, what it means to take something that you're not ready for, and what it means to take something that you're supposed to receive. Like Adam and Eve were supposed to receive from God what it meant to be good and evil. But instead, they redefined that for themselves when they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything begins to spiral from there. And so they redefined what good was, and as a result, what happened? There was a curse. There was a curse. And so what gets cursed? This is important. What gets cursed? The ground? What else gets cursed? Say that one more time. No, the woman doesn't get cursed. The deceiver gets cursed. The snake gets cursed. Adam is given work to do now, and Eve is given work to do. Adam is to toil the ground. Eve now has to, a lot of times this is the way that this is interpreted, suffer the pains of childbirth. Does this all sound familiar? So to suffer the pains of childbirth, but it doesn't actually mean the physical pain of bearing a child. It means to bear a child in a world that's not Eden anymore. That's the curse that Eve is given. That she now has to have a kid inside of a world that is fallen and corrupt. And she has to live with that, right? And so we have this blessing, though, from God. God blesses Adam and Eve. He blesses human beings. But the world, the ground is cursed, and the deceiver in this story is cursed. Just like later, you're going to see there's a mom who has a son who is a deceiver in Rebekah and Jacob. And she says, if there's a curse, I'll take the curse. Right? This is This is all like, it's hard for me to play catch up in one Sunday. So if you need to know all of the stuff, go back and watch all of the stuff. But when we talk about blessing, I need you to get this. When we talk about blessing in the Bible, there's a particular type of blessing that we're talked about. So like, there's all sorts of stuff in going around that goes around in church, in the body of Christ, to do whatever, to say whatever, what it means to be blessed, all of that stuff. And the majority of the time, how that gets taught is that what it means to be blessed is you just are like really rich. Like you just have a lot of money. And it's like, if that's what it means to be blessed, where's the sign-up sheet? Because I would like to sign up for that. But when the Bible talks about blessing, it's talking about something totally different. It's talking about something called an effective blessing. So I need you to get this, because if you don't get this, you're not going to get anything else. Okay? So lock in. An effective blessing is when a word from God becomes reality. A word from God becomes reality. God gives you a word, and that becomes real. So the way that that becomes real, though all throughout the scriptures, the way that that becomes real is through abundance, through reproduction, and through human flourishing. Those are the three ways that it comes into reality, like the blessing of God comes into reality for humans. Abundance, reproduction, and human flourishing. And they are for the sake of yourself and others. They are never just for your sake. You are never just blessed for your sake. That's not a thing. When Abraham gets blessed in Genesis chapter 12, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and your family is going to bless the whole world. And the rest of the story of Genesis is literally how the family of Abraham is blessing the whole world. Yeah. And there is so much tension in this story, because in order to be a blessing to the whole world, in order to move the world back into this Eden state that we left from with Adam and Eve, you have to be whole yourself. And so what's happening in the story of Genesis is God is taking this family and moving them into this internal wholeness. And we see this lived out through all of Abraham's family. And where we're at is the story of Jacob and Rebekah on this wonderful Mother's Day. And so I don't want to be the guy who's like, you probably never heard a sermon like this on Rebekah before, but here we are. You probably haven't. Because let me just ask you a question. In the story, in Genesis 27, isn't Rebekah the one that helps Jacob be a liar? Is she? Because in Genesis 25, God speaks to her and says, your firstborn is going to serve the secondborn. So is Rebekah helping Jacob trick his father, or is Rebekah obeying the word of God? Is Rebekah, is she tricking Isaac? Or is she putting her child in the place that she knows he's supposed to be? There is tension in this story. Rebekah loved Jacob. Rebekah knew Jacob and knew that he was a trickster. Every time, and I've heard this my whole life. I was reading this story this week, and everything is about, like, every time I've heard these stories preached through Genesis, it's always like, it was because Jacob needed a father. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with Jacob having a father. Jacob's father is blind. The story of Jacob doesn't continue if not for a mother putting him in his right place. Isaac was about to bless the wrong person. So the person who was making the mistake in the story is not Jacob and it's not Rebekah, it's Isaac. And Isaac is just doing what he knows to do. He's not like intentionally going to make this mistake, but he doesn't have this word, Rebekah does. So the tension here is when you read Genesis 25, and then you read Genesis 27, and it looks like that Rebekah is partnering with a deceiver. It looks like that Rebekah, and I think the text is intentionally set up like this. I think it's supposed to make you go, wait a minute. I think when you read the Bible, if you don't ever have these moments where it's like, wait a minute. Wait a second. This doesn't make any sense. So like Rebekah just obeys God, obeys God, obeys God, obeys God, obeys God. And then all of a sudden, she is a deceiver. That doesn't make any sense. Rebekah was the one that went down into the cisterns 100 times to water camels. And so when you have this story of Rebekah, you have this mother who knows her son. You have this mother who knows her child. And as Jacob is trying to trick all of them into being blessed, Rebekah knows that a blessing from God is the only thing that will ever fix Jacob's dysfunction. Because blessing means more than meets the eye. So she's not tricking Isaac. She's putting her son in a position to be blessed to walk the whole world into wholeness. And when she does this, this is bothersome to some people. And this is what's so cool about Genesis. If you read Genesis and some of these stories don't bother you, you ain't reading them right. Go read them again. And so Rebekah is in this place where she knows Jacob. She knows that he is a liar. She knows that he is a trickster. And Jacob thinks that he is tricking Isaac and he's getting his mom to partner with him. But Rebekah knows God. And you can't trick a mom with some good discernment who really knows God. You can't trick those. It ain't happening. I've got friends who were like, I mean, like one of them was like in sin, like in the act of sinning. Mom pulls up in the Jeep, knocks on the door. God told me where you were. Get in the Jeep. In the Jeep. We're here to get you. Get in the Jeep. Jacob thinks that he's tricking Rebekah, but Rebekah is tricking him. Rebekah is placing him in the only position for God to do something in his heart to work this little trickster liar out of him. Because Rebekah knows what blessing from God means. And the first thing that it means is exposure. If I would have read the rest of the text, Jacob gets his blessing from God, and guess who comes walking up? Esau. Esau comes walking up, and it says this, Jacob is shaking and he is afraid. Sometimes the best thing that God can do is make you own the things that you have lied about where you have cheated and where you have failed. Because what Esau was, he knew that Esau was supposed to get this blessing. He knew that that was supposed to happen. But God, in his mercy to Jacob, made him own the fact that he has tried to lie about this. He has tried to be this deceiver. And Rebekah knew the whole time. Rebekah knew the whole time because she's already walked through this process. That if I can just get God to bless Jacob, then that will lead to him being made whole. Because when you are blessed by God, you cannot run from what he wants to do in you. You can't run from it. Jacob spends his whole life on the run. And it all starts with this mom who says, "Son, your dad's about to make a mistake. You go get this blessing. I'll tell you how to do it." And Jacob thinks that mom's being like a cool mom. Like it's like, "Oh, you're going to go get the blessing." And it's like, yeah, what Jacob's mom was doing was she was about to make his life hell for the rest of his life if he didn't repent. What Rebekah did to Jacob was not a fun time for Jacob. And sometimes that's what it's like when you put your kids in the hands of God. It's not going to be a fun time for them. Especially if they have all of this dysfunctional stuff going on in their hearts. It's not going to be a fun time for them. Because God will not let you destroy yourself with all of the dysfunctions in your life. He loves and cares for you too much to do that. And we see this most clearly when we look at the life of Jacob. This mom who puts her child in a place for God to bless him. And he does. And then the first thing that God does is expose him. That should create some tension in you. The reason why that we do not want our kids exposed by God is because we are still not convinced that we can trust him with our children. We think that doing it our way is going to work, and doing it our way is going to be better. And I'm telling you, when I wrote this sermon, I called some old people. I called some old people. And I said, "Tell me about trusting God with your children." And every one of them were like, "Yeah, it's pretty rough." Because you got things that you want to say, but you know if you say it, this is going to end in a catastrophe. But if God does this, this will be good. And what Rebekah is doing when she puts Jacob in position to be blessed is she is tricking him into having God look at him and say, "Jacob, I'm not going to let you be a little liar your whole life. I'm not going to let you be a deceiver. I am going to put you in a place where God is going to make you whole, and it doesn't matter if you like it or not." Can I give you some advice? Get your children in the presence of God as often as you possibly can. Get them to this church as often as you possibly can get them here. Get them in a position where they can be blessed by God, where we can dedicate them on the stage to the Lord, and we can declare over them all the days of your life. Mercy is going to follow you. Grace is going to follow you. This is what generational blessing actually looks like in the book of Genesis. Rebecca has this love and this faith even. And she has this love for Jacob that really outweighs her love for Esau for some reason. We'll talk about that later. But she has this love for Jacob. And because she loved Jacob, she put him in a place where he had no idea what God was doing, but God was up to something. Because listen, good parents, good parenting looks like sometimes putting your kids in places that they do not want to be, but they need to be. And I'll argue this one all day long. With the arguments of like 75-year-old people, like those people. Like sometimes Beckham wants to do dumb stuff. He's not allowed to do dumb stuff. Sometimes Beckham does dumb stuff. And I believe in natural consequences. Usually fixes things. It's like, hey, buddy, I probably wouldn't climb on that if I were you. He's like, I'm good. I'm like, whatever you say, big dog. And he's like, Dad, look. And I'm like, I'm looking. And it's making me very anxious. This happened. Anna was away the other day. I think she was getting her hair done. And legitimately, Beckham is like, he's like, Dad, look. I'm like, I am looking. And he's like, do you see me? And I was like, yes, I see you. And then I'm like, hey, do not take another step to the right, because if you do, we are going to the hospital. He's on our island, just hanging out up there. Like tempting, like getting close to the edge. He's like, I'm like, dude, you're not that bad. You don't have good enough balance to do that yet. Stop. And so I picked him up and put him in a place where he would not destroy his legs. And sometimes as a parent, you have to put your kids in places they don't want to be for their own good in the long run. And there's no better place that you could put your kid than in the hand of God. There's no better place that you can put your children than in the hand of God and saying, God, I trust you with my child. You are going to have to do something with them because I can't. It got to the point in my parenting where I've ordered every parent's prayer book there is. I have them all. If you need a copy, I got one. And it's just like, Beckham starts being crazy. And I'm like, is there like a liturgy in here for like crazy kids? Is there one for that? There's not. So I made my own. But you see this generational blessing thing with Rebecca. Rebecca knew God. She knew God. And she knew that she could trust God with her kid. She knew that she could trust God with her own kid. So she put him in the place that he needed to be so that God could do the work in him that needed to be done. And the most difficult thing, from what I hear, because I don't have older kids yet, is when you know that there is a decision that needs to be made, and you know the right decision that needs to be made, but your child won't make this decision. The only thing that you can do in that place, according to the older people that I talk to, is trust God. The only thing that I know how to do with my 3-year-old sometimes is trust God. I don't have a plan for this. Beckham, I don't have a plan for you assaulting our dog. Like, you can't do that. And then he proceeds to do that. Once you take this step of putting your kid in the hand of God, you've got to let blessing do its work. You've got to let blessing do its work. One of the problems that we face, like I think in church culture today, is that if anybody feels called to do something, we just throw them into the fire as quick as they feel called to do it. If you feel called to ministry, you're good to go. Can you preach? Great. Here's a mic. Are people attracted to you? Great. You're a leader. That's not what any of that means. And I think one of the things that we're seeing in the church culture at large, specifically the churches that I grew up in, is that blessing is crushing people. Having something given to you too quick that you can't handle will not heal you. It will crush you. And Jacob grabbed this blessing. And when you read the story of Jacob, it does not look like that he's being healed. It looks like he's being crushed. Rebecca had a word from God that this was going to happen. Esau and Jacob, they're going to be like two cities that are rivals, and they're going to live in tension with each other all the days of their life. But your firstborn, you're going to serve the secondborn. And Jacob, when he's entrusted into the hands of God and he's blessed, he literally goes on the run. Like Jacob's whole life is lived him running away from what God wants to do in him. It is running away from God healing that immaturity, that trickster in him. That's Jacob's whole life. And then he gets to a place and he gets this revelation. He's on the run. He's been blessed. Rebecca has put Jacob in the hand of God and said, Lord, you're going to have to do whatever. Jacob goes and takes a nap and he has a dream. And when he gets up from the dream, there's this ladder ascending, you know, Jacob's ladder. And this is what he said. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. You can bet that when you start getting whole, you'll start recognizing the presence of God in places where you don't think that He should be. Doing a work in you that you would not expect Him to be doing. Jacob, when he goes to sleep, it's because he's on the run from his brother. He's tired. He's wore out. Life has got him. And he's still trying to trick people. And the Lord shows up to him. And when he wakes up, surely the Lord is in this place. And I had no idea that he was here. What it means to be blessed is you are going to have moments in your life when you are walking into internal wholeness. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to blow it. You're going to fail. You're going to fall on your face. And somehow the Lord is going to show up to you. And you're going to have this revelation. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I just had no idea. I had no idea that he was here. Why did Jacob have this encounter with God? Because of his mom. Jacob got to know God and to start knowing God the way that his mother knew God, because his mom just said, hey, you can have my son. You can have Jacob. I'm going to mess this up, but Lord, you know what to do. And that's in Genesis 28. When you get to Genesis 35, and this blessing is continuing to work, Jacob's still failing, he's still on the run. There's still stuff in him that God is trying to deal with that he will not let God deal with. He wrestles with God in Genesis 22, and he says, if you do not bless me, I'm not going to let you go. All of that good stuff. His name changes. All of this. Jacob goes through stuff. Jacob has some problems, and he takes them to God, and God heals them, and he has some more problems, and he tries to take those back to God, and God meets him again. And it's this continual thing of Jacob being aware that surely the Lord is in this place of my greatest distress, and I did not know it. But when Jacob gets to Genesis 35, the story changes. And he doesn't say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He says, surely the Lord has been with me all along. And I had no idea. Why did he come to this revelation? Because of Rebekah. Said, Lord, you can bless Jacob. And what it means to be blessed by God, you cannot outrun him. You cannot outrun him. You cannot trick God. You cannot lie to God. And I don't, like, this is, I have friends all the time. Like, I have a friend that calls me probably weekly now. He's like 1 week, I can say this because if he watches this, like, I say this on the phone to him. It's like 1 week, he's like, you ever thought about, like, could we become Catholic? And I'm like, you can become Catholic. He's like, I don't think I believe in any of this anymore. I mean, this is in the same phone conversation. He's like, you ever thought about becoming Mormon? And I was like, I have not. I actually haven't. I actually never thought about that even once. He's like, I've thought about it. And I was like, I mean, do whatever you want, I guess. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. He was like, and like he wants me to like entertain these thoughts of him going to all of these different churches. And he thinks like this is bothersome to me. And what like he doesn't realize is like he had a family who brought him up on a stage as a little boy and who laid their hands on him and who blessed him. And he's scattered internally, but God is showing up to him in ways and he just doesn't know it yet. When you entrust your children into the hand of God, it may not always look the way that you thought it was going to look. But what you can be sure of is the faithfulness of God. The reason Rebekah trusted God so easily, because she had seen God's faithfulness. She had seen God show up to her, and she had seen God show up to Isaac, and she knew God. Jansen, you can come on up. And so on this Mother's Day, there's a couple things. As we are in our Genesis series, I think the first thing is, the first question maybe would be to ask, what in the world could you possibly be running from in your life today? Like, what in the world could you possibly be running from? Because I believe that you are here by no accident whatsoever. I don't care if it's Mother's Day. God will use Mother's Day to trick you to come into church. He don't care. He's going to get you one way or the other, big dog. What are you running from? Where maybe you just need to stop and you need to say, God was with me all this time. What internal dysfunction do you have going on that may even be caused from pain, that may be caused from suffering, that you just need to stop and acknowledge the presence of God? And you will say, man, I've been running, but God's been with me all this time. Moms in the room, Do you know why we need you? So that we can stop in these moments and say, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. If not for moms who commit their children to the Lord, if not for moms who pray over their kids, if not for moms who have a heart for their kids to love God and know God in a deep, real way, Jacob never gets to these places in his life. He never has the moment, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And then he never has the moment later in his life when he's grown up and matured a little bit and he says, wait a minute, no. Surely the Lord has always been with me. Even in my distress is what Genesis 35 says. If not for moms who present children to the Lord, maybe none of you are sitting in this room. It doesn't have to be your earthly mom. It can be a spiritual mom or teachers at school or any motherly figure in your life. Do you mean to tell you what the world needs? It needs moms like Rebecca that say, I've been touched by God. I know God. I've been with God. I've met with God. I trust God. And I'm going to commit my kids to God. And I'm going to be sure that I let Him do His work in their life. And here's what I will say to you moms in the room. Be careful of what you ask God for. Be careful of what you ask God for. Because when you ask God to bless your kids, and I know you will, He will do it. He will do it. And it may not always look like you think it's going to look. But He's going to do it. And He's going to do things in ways that you never thought He would do them. He's going to violate all of your protocols. He's going to get on your nerves. Yeah, God's going to get on your nerves. Because He's going to nag at you. Because, man, God, you really do have a good tendency to take what looks like hell on earth and somehow make something beautiful out of it. When I was talking to some older people this week, they were just like, yeah, like God's done things in me and He's done things in my kids. And if I were God, this is what they said, if I were God, I would have never done it like that in my kid. And I was like, sounds like it's a really good thing that you aren't God. Because they seem to be doing all right. Moms, thank you. Thank you for the prayers that you pray. Thank you for the tough decisions that you make. Thank you for the things that you do. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make that nobody else knows about. Please, I am begging you, continue to put your kids in the hands of the Lord. And you watch what He will do. Jesus says this, or sorry, Paul says this. Jesus doesn't say this. Paul says this. That when God begins a good work, He is faithful to complete it. Do you know the good work that God began in Jacob? It did not look like a good work. It looked like him lying to his mom and lying to his dad and being a trickster. But Rebecca knew the whole time, I have a word from God. and I'm going to go meet my son where he's at. And if he wants to be blessed like this, I guess he'll have to be blessed like this, and I'm just going to have to trust God with the rest of it. When you see Rebecca in this story, where is Jesus in this story? It's Rebecca going to meet her son where he was in the middle of a lie and entrusting God with the rest of it. Moms, we need you. Thank you for all of the things that you do. Thank you for who you are. Jesus is calling, if you want to answer. He's on the main line. Tell him what you want. You don't know that song, do you? Some of y'all know that song. Some of you don't. It's my favorite song, one of them. Miss Wendy in the back knows that song. Darius, you want to come and sing that song for us real quick? I'm joking. Stand to your feet with me all over the room. Moms, we need you. Moms, we thank you. Continue to put your children in spaces where God can deal with the things that He needs to deal with inside of them to move our world into a greater degree of wholeness. I want to pray for you today, and I want to bless you before you go. Lord, we thank you for all the moms in the room today, all the sacrifices that have been made, everything that you have done in the lives of us in the room today. We thank you that at some point a mother somewhere asked God for something to be done in our lives. And God, we are thankful that you answered. We are only standing here today because of our moms and the motherly figures in our lives. Lord, today we thank you for those people. We thank you for those people who you sent into our worlds so that we would walk in this life and through this life with blessing and favor, all because a mom prayed a prayer. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we pray that all the moms in the room have the best Mother's Day ever. In Jesus' name.